From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the power of Mercury. I'm talking about the planet. Here's what's happening. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles said it is recalling almost 2 million vehicles worldwide because their airbags might not deploy in a crash. That's not good. Now, the recall affects certain Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Lancia vehicles from 2010 to 2014 model years. Most are in the United States. 250,000 of them sold in Canada and Mexico. An airbag and seatbelt control module with a certain wiring design may not deploy the airbags or tighten the seatbelts if the vehicle is involved in a frontal crash. That could increase the risk of injury. The FCA there says that they are aware of 3 deaths and 5 injuries that might be related to this issue. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has officially announced the recall of Samsung's Note 7 phones, a story we've been following for a few weeks. The Consumer Protection Agency cited serious fire and burn hazards when it announced that the Samsung recall, the lithium-ion battery in the Galaxy Note 7 smartphones can overheat and catch fire, posing a serious burn hazard to you, the consumer. The presidential race is getting tighter. Hillary Clinton tops Donald Trump by just 1 point among likely voters. Clinton receives 41% to Trump's 40%, according to a new Fox News poll. Libertarian Gary Johnson holding at 8%. Green Party candidate Jill Stein at 3%. It is very close. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis, whom, I should say, supports Donald Trump. That's pretty fair to say that, isn't it, John?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to report, you know, the unspun facts of the election.
I know, but I want everyone to know where you're headed.
Well, but I mean, I think they can sort of tell, but I'm not I'm not spinning the facts in order to distort the what information is out there. The really significant part of the polling today is that Trump has moved ahead in Florida, in North Carolina, in Ohio, in Indiana, and these battleground states are extremely important to the, you know, to the outcome, because it, you know, there, we have seen elections, I mean 2000, where someone won the electoral vote but lost the popular vote. So that can happen. It's highly unlikely to happen, but what we're looking at right now, which a lot of people are beginning to see, a lot of pollsters, especially Democratic pollsters, is that these highly biased left-wing polls are really not tapping in to that independent group, which is 40% of the electorate, that is rating the Congress at under 10% right now. And that discontent has been translated into a movement toward Trump right now. I mean, the health issues with Hillary, honestly, have really created more credibility issues. Because, you know, when you talk about releasing medical records, you don't get a letter from your personal doctor that tells whether she's fit or she isn't fit. You release hospital records. Since there's no hospital records on Hillary, why is that, George? Why aren't there any clinical hospital records or blood tests that go back before the so-called concussion that happened in 2012?
She never got a blood test? No.
Yeah, exactly. So we know that there's MRI studies, there are blood tests, there are diagnoses that were made not by her personal doctor, but by teams of physicians to be able to deal with her. What we do know right now is there's so much inconsistency that has been presented by the Clinton campaign as to why she stumbles, why she blacks out. The idea that she somehow gets dehydrated. If you look at the woman, she certainly doesn't look dehydrated to me. But I mean, apart from that, I mean, I think it's safe to say that these explanations are just not passing muster. They're just not credible. And we have Bill Clinton, who's become like a loose cannon for her out on the campaign trail, saying, oh, well, Hillary had the flu. Well, is it the flu? Is it the pneumonia? Is it allergies?
Is it Parkinson's disease? That's what a couple doctors are saying.
Yeah, is it Parkinson's disease? Is it pulmonary emboli that some people have said? all of which basically just creates a lot of doubt about it.
Well, I'll tell you this, John. If she has one more episode, a fainting spell, she falls. If something happens, she's up the creek.
I think so, and I really believe that when you start adding in to the equation people becoming more aware of the foreign policy disasters, especially in Syria, backing the Assad regime over there, pitting the U.S. literally against Russia, which is tossing out 60 years of diplomacy with the Russians. Only recently we heard on the 10th that Kerry has finally capitulated. The Obama administration has finally gone and accepted the Russian position that Assad can stay in power in Syria and try to end the Syrian war. You start really, things start adding up, and I think that's why the polling is headed south for Hillary.
We shall watch what happens as it unfolds as we creep closer to election night, November 8th, where, by the way, we'll have 5 hours of live programming for you. In Columbus, Ohio, sad story. An officer responding to a reported armed robbery shot and killed a 13-year-old boy, but the teenager pulled a firearm from his waistband that was later determined to be a BB gun, but it looked practically identical to the weapon that police use. Misunderstanding, sad story, can't blame the officer for that. Missouri has joined a growing list of states allowing most adults to carry concealed weapons without a permit, as the state's Republican-led legislature used its supermajority to loosen existing gun laws there. In North Carolina, a woman is being treated for serious burns after her boyfriend tossed gasoline on her and then set her on fire. Officers said they were called to the scene about a woman with burn injuries. When they arrived, officers found the woman to have second and third degree burns on her face and upper torso. As we've been talking about for years now, I don't like clowns. But this epidemic seems to be growing. An epidemic of creepy clowns attempting to abduct children apparently is sweeping across the southern United States. Sightings of men in clown costumes trying to tempt kids into the woods or standing in a sinister manner beneath streetlights have been reported now across 4 states. Most recently, police in West Georgia said they received numerous calls about clowns trying to talk to kids. Also, a couple people arrested in Georgia for lying about clown stories. It's really weird. What else is going on these days? Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter, what do we have this week?
Well, good evening, George.
Hi.
A lot of interesting reports. We just updated our website, ufocenter.com, earlier this evening. I thought I was all set to go with all the reports I was going to talk about, and then more reports started pouring in from all across the United States tonight. Something unusual is going on. But I have 5 quick reports here I'd like to share with our listeners, selected from about 115 that we just posted earlier this evening. First one comes from Sydney, Australia. Last Saturday, the 10th of September, a young fellow and his girlfriend were out enjoying the beautiful night sky above Sydney, and their attention was drawn to 2 green lights that appeared to be approaching them at very high speed. In fact, from the very beginning of this sighting, this gentleman says, they were both somewhat alarmed. It was so dramatic an event. The green lights stopped directly above them, stopped instantly. No slowing down. They just instantly stopped directly above. They sat there for a very short period of time, and then they moved off a ways and came back and hovered above them. The young woman was mortified by the object for some reason. She was scared to death, wanted to get out of there, but a very interesting sighting. The young fellow says he'd always wanted to see a UFO, and this was the first one he'd ever seen. Next report comes from Arlington, Virginia. A gentleman writes that he was out watering his flower bed, and his attention was drawn to 2 blue Huey helicopters, UH-1 helicopters. He says that usually means there's some dignitaries in the area. As he was watching them, his attention was drawn still higher to something that looked like a large bird. He estimated its wingspan at about 10 feet. I don't think this case is UFO related, but he writes that the object hovered in a very, or circled in a very small area of the sky, and then drifted off to another area of the sky, did another tight circle, and still a third. So maybe more an NSA probe than a UFO, but very interesting. And if anybody in the Arlington area saw that object, we would welcome more reports if anybody knows what that object was. Third report comes from Hingham, Mass., southeast of Boston, across Boston Harbor. Gentleman was driving north on Route 3 towards Boston. His attention was drawn to a very bright light in the northwest sky. At first, he thought it was just an airliner setting up for landing at Boston Airport. Then he realized that the object was apparently approaching his position or close to him at a very high speed. It got close to him, it slowed, and then he could see that it was a distinct disc, a metallic-looking disc. He thinks that the other drivers on Route 3 also saw it because he could see taillights going on, stoplights going on for no apparent reason that he could see. So other people may have seen that. We would welcome reports from anybody who might have witnessed it. 15 minutes after that sighting from Hingham, a similar sighting from Smithville, New Jersey, gentleman saw two small triangular craft with colored lights in all three corners. Very interesting sighting. And final report comes from Missoula, Montana tonight, just about 1 hour ago, George. Bunch of people saw an object moving across the sky at very high speed. Initially, they thought it was maybe a meteor or an asteroid, but the quality of flight tended to rule that out, and the duration of the sighting tends to rule out any kind of meteor or asteroid. They said it was a very peculiar-looking object, moved in a very straight line, no arcing, very unusual sighting, they report, all of them report. And if anybody in the Missoula area saw that object tonight, we would welcome reports. So we've gotten so many other reports tonight that we may update the website again over the weekend.
Great. Thanks, Peter. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. They say napping for more than an hour during the day could be a warning sign for type 2 diabetes, according to a Japanese study. They found the link after analyzing more than 300,000 people. Up next, Dr. Joanne Conaway joins us from Critical Health News. Our partners, they're sponsors of the program. Her book is called Why Is America So Sick? You might as well get started. Here's the website, criticalhealthnews.com. And there's a toll-free number to call folks who will give you some assistance. That's not to get on the show here, but that's 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. As you know, a couple times a month, we have the folks on from criticalhealthnews.com to help give you some vital information about how you can help yourself and protect yourself, boost your immunity, make yourself a little more healthier than you already are. Serving 20 years in the U.S. Air Force and Air Force Reserves, Dr. Joanne Conaway was an aerial medical evacuation nurse, an in-flight medical crew director, now a practicing naturopathic physician. Dr. Conaway left mainstream medicine, rejected the conventional approach to treating symptoms with pharmaceuticals. Now her primary focus is the function of the gastrointestinal system. Her book is called Why Is America So Sick? And again, the website, criticalhealthnews.com, or that toll-free number. People are there waiting to help you at 1-855-949-7234. Welcoming back to Coast to Coast, Dr. Joanne Conaway. It's always a pleasure, Joanne. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, George. How are you?
Good. I'm doing fine. You know, the story I had before you came on in Japan, if you take a nap for an hour a day, that means you might be higher at risk for type 2 diabetes? I don't get it.
Well, it's interesting, George, because when you look at the way the body handles sugar and processes sugar, one of the things that we know is if you have too much sugar, too many carbs, it drives your insulin way up. And then your insulin is there because it has been driven up because of all those carbs. The carbs are used up and gone away, and now you have all this excess insulin. And oftentimes what will happen with people is they will just fall asleep. They will just find themselves in a situation, and you know, blood sugar and sugar in the body affects it various different ways.
Is that narcolepsy?
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that we know happens is narcolepsy. And narcolepsy is one of those conditions that, unfortunately, if sugars are not balanced, can happen and can have some pretty serious consequences. You know, people with narcolepsy have been known to fall asleep behind the wheel of the car. Not a very good thing. And so when we look at how the body processes sugar and recognize that this influx of so much insulin, once it's used up all the carbohydrates, then the insulin is still there and can cause things like the narcolepsy, can cause those issues of imbalance in blood sugars. One of the reasons why we are so prone to those kinds of things, we eat too many carbohydrates. The standard American diet is loaded with carbohydrates, sugars of all kinds, loaded with grains of all kinds, and lots of carbohydrates. And this is one of the reasons why people have so many issues with those carbohydrates. They just consume too many.
The body seems to be able to fight back a lot of disease, Joanne, and a lot of afflictions. Yet type 2 diabetes is at an epidemic stage. More people have it than ever before. It's caused from a lot of the things you just mentioned, being overweight and everything else. Why doesn't the body fight it? It seems like it gets it a little too quickly.
Well, you know, it would seem that way. And certainly when you look at the numbers of people with type 2 diabetes and recognize that it's called type 2 diabetes now, it used to be adult onset diabetes. It was adult onset diabetes because people who were older got that condition. We now have children, young children, 3, 4, 5 years old, being diagnosed with diabetes. And it's not a diabetes they're born with. It's a diabetes they develop. Why is this happening and why are the numbers astronomical? In my opinion, it has everything in the world to do with our environment, more specifically with our diet. Our bodies cannot handle these carbohydrates, and our bodies, unfortunately, do not process these carbohydrates, and we have situations where a person will develop diabetes. When we look at people who are overweight, for example, about 90% of the people who are overweight have a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. And what it means is not so much that the body isn't producing insulin, it's just that in this case, because of the constant influx of too much of the carbohydrate, the body's not processing carbohydrate properly because although insulin is there, and in fact, many type 2 diabetics produce more insulin than people who are not diabetic. But what happens is this insulin is produced, and now what happens is the receptors on the cell wall membrane don't recognize the insulin. Insulin is necessary to, if you will, open the door of the cell so that the glucose can be driven into the cell and used for energy. Well, we develop an insulin resistance, and when resistance comes to the door of the cell, that door does not open because the receptors on that cell wall membrane don't recognize that insulin. So a person can produce adequate amounts of insulin, but if the receptors are not there to recognize the insulin won't open the door, the glucose won't enter the cell. One of the things that we know is two key nutrients, the trace minerals chromium and vanadium, if they are lacking, then those receptors don't recognize the insulin. So when we work with people, one of the things that we know is giving them the 90 nutrients that we talk about all the time and making sure that they're getting ample amounts of that chromium and vanadium. Oftentimes, that's all it takes to turn on those receptors to recognize the insulin. The glucose goes into the cell, and we no longer have it circulating through the vascular system, creating that condition called diabetes.
Joanne, they're starting to call for you already, so I'm going to open up the phone lines a little earlier, and we'll allow a lot of people to ask you questions so you can help them. And if you can help one person, it's well worth it. Our special guest is Dr. Joanne Conaway for the next hour and a half. The website, criticalhealthnews.com. The number, of course, to talk to other people about things that could help you. That's 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. We'll be back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your calls and also your tweets, questions. Tom's got them. He's ready for you. Next. And thank you, MC. Told you, they're sponsors of the program. They love getting the message out, and we do it for them. Dr. Joanne Conaway with us. We're going to take your calls as we talk about your health. Joanne, I can think of nothing more important than people taking care of themselves. Can you?
No, absolutely not, because what's life if we're not healthy? And, you know, I feel the same way. If people don't take care of themselves, then unfortunately someone else is going to have to take care of them somewhere down the road. My feeling has always been my health is important because my life is important. The big thing, though, and this is what makes Critical Health News and the team there so important and so helpful for people, we literally don't know what we don't know. I listen to your show and I think, wow, I didn't know that about some of the UFO sightings and some of the other things that we've learned about. It's all fascinating information to me. Well, in my opinion, this information that we share on Critical Health News is just as fascinating and very important if you want to stay healthy. If you don't know many of these things, you don't realize that they're either harmful or could be potentially helpful, and that's what we do. We help sort that all out so that people can walk away with a better understanding, an increased knowledge base, and they don't have to be scientists and doctors. They just need to know the important things to stay away from, the landmines, as Dr. Wallach always says, stay away from the landmines, and give this amazing body the nutrition that it needs to do the jobs at the cellular level, and life can be great.
Absolutely. It is so important that people take care of themselves for the people they care about. Because if you're there for your family and then something happens to you, it affects them drastically. You have to take care of yourself, Joanne.
Absolutely.
We've got a tweet in from Gerald in Austin, Texas. And he wants you to know and ask, if you're a diabetic, do you always stay a diabetic or can that go away forever? So the question is, once a diabetic, always?
Is, I've worked with many people, George, who have the diagnosis of diabetes, and when they clean up their diet, subscribe to what we call our good food, bad food list, they make sure their digestive system is healthy and do that special program that I've put together called the Flora Program to help balance the healthy gut microbiome. Then take those 90 nutrients we recommend and the addition of that chromium and vanadium product, and people who have had the diagnosis of diabetes no longer have the diagnosis of diabetes. This is the beauty of the body healing itself. The body heals itself when it's given the raw materials that it needs and when we take away all those things that are harmful. So, will I say someone is a diabetic forever? The answer to that is no, and I know many people who have come back to me and who have said, my doctors told me I'm not diabetic any longer.
That's amazing. I mean, the body is like a machine. You just keep it oiled and tuned up, it's going to run for a long time.
That's right, and just like you wouldn't put sand in your gas tank
no.
To run, you put gas in the gas tank. So that's what we do. We teach people what's the gas and what's the sand and how to keep the sand out of the pipes.
We're going to take your phone calls, criticalhealthnews.com. Let's go to Susan in Sacramento, California. Hi, Susan. You're on with Dr. Joanne Conaway.
Hi, doctor.
Hi there.
And George. I tend to be prone to getting joint pain. I was wondering what kind of nutrients and what type of diet I should be to control that?
Joint pain.
Okay, well, one of the first things that I will tell you is if you're suffering with joint pain, it could be for various different reasons. But one of the things that we've realized over the course of the last several years is many people are sensitive to gluten. And I would, in fact, say that all people are sensitive to gluten in one way or another. You don't have to be a celiac patient to be recognized as sensitive to gluten. And gluten that we find in bread, pasta, cakes, pies, ice cream, yogurt, all kinds of things, that can actually contribute to joint discomfort. Now, taking it beyond that, in a situation where someone has chronic joint pain and needs to have that relief, what we do for those people is we help them to recognize which foods may in fact impact their health overall, ask them to clean up the diet, if you will, or adjust the diet and remove some of those things. Make sure the digestive system is functioning optimally so that you will well absorb the nutrition that we take in, but then we have nutritionals that help to support the joints and help to support joint function so that people can help to alleviate some of that discomfort. Those things are going to come in the form of our Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, for example, where the products in that pack support the joints, help to ensure that the joints are lubricated, if you will. And so the combination of eliminating the bad stuff and once again giving the body the good stuff in the form of good quality calcium, magnesium, those 90 essential nutrients that we talk about, glucosamine, chondroitin, the things that have been shown to actually assist the body and help to support the joints, we can generally affect a change. Now, again, the important thing to remember here is some of the things that you eat and some of the things that are part of your everyday environment may in fact be contributing to this, and those are things we need to eliminate. But the combination of eliminating those things, making sure the digestive system is absorbing well, and taking the products, we can generally affect a change because we support joint health.
Joanne, how could Hillary come down with pneumonia and her doctors not try to help her before this really started to fester? That is a message from Carrie in Commerce, California, as he texts us, or she.
Okay. You know, it's interesting when we look at it. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, with what I've read, I'm not sure we know all the facts. Now, having said that, a couple of different things can cause pneumonia, and she could have, in fact, had a pneumonia that was starting to develop and not have the normal outward symptoms of a pneumonia. So perhaps it wasn't caught and wasn't caught as it normally would be caught. I still say that there's a lot of speculation as to exactly what's going on. And you know, as you started the show, you were talking about some of those things. I don't think we know all the facts, and I'm not sure that we ever will know all the facts. How could it go undiagnosed? Sometimes a pneumonia can be insidious and will go undiagnosed for a brief period of time. Is she maybe too busy on the campaign trail that she hasn't seen her doctor appropriately? I'm not exactly sure. That's a really tough question because I don't know all the facts and really don't know that, in fact, she had a pneumonia.
Left unchecked, pneumonia can kill you, can it?
Oh, without a doubt. Absolutely. Absolutely. Depending upon the type of pneumonia, yes, it can. And it can kill you from various different perspectives. It can kill you because of a respiratory issue, or if it's a bad bacterial pneumonia and you're not treating it, it can kill you because you become septic and your body,
right,
your entire body becomes filled with this bacterial infection.
Can it trigger a heart attack?
Potentially, if you don't have a healthy heart, sure.
Jeez. Next up, we go to Basil in Beaumont, Texas, east of the Rockies. Basil, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, of the two types of people that get diabetes that are overweight, you mentioned 90% versus the 10%. Now, I know that some people are predisposed genetically to overweight. But is there inflammation in the 10%?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we recognize is diabetes is not necessarily a genetic condition. And we know that because we've seen many people who would fit all the criteria to have diabetes as a diagnosis because their mom had it or their dad had it or their grandparents had it or their sisters and brothers have it, and yet they don't. And it's, again, when we talk about diabetes as a condition, what we know is that there are many contributing factors. Now, when we talk about it and say it's a genetic predisposition, from my perspective, rather than it being a genetic predisposition, it has more to do with tradition. How were you taught to eat? What foods were prepared by your mother? How were those foods prepared? What volumes were you encouraged to eat? Those are some of the kinds of things that contribute to diabetes that don't necessarily make it a genetic thing. In my opinion, a lot of times, again, it has more to do with the family dynamics and how your food is prepared. With respect to those people who are not overweight and have diabetes, those are people who still consume sugars, but consume sugars that are not healthy sugars, and their bodies do not process sugars properly. That can happen simply because your digestive system isn't healthy, and therefore you don't process sugars healthily. It's fascinating when you look at the way foods are processed. If you've got lots of good, healthy gut bacteria, then your foods are going to be processed in a much different way than if you have unhealthy gut bacteria. For example, candida yeast overgrowth. This is just a good example and one of the things that we talk about a lot, because if you have lots of good, healthy gut bacteria, you're going to control that candida yeast overgrowth. Yeast requires glucose or sugar, and that sugar is provided by the digestion of carbohydrates. If you have lots of good, healthy gut bacteria, you're going to process those carbohydrates in a much different way. If you have lots of unhealthy gut bacteria, you can actually process that candida because you're processing those carbohydrates in a different way. Those unhealthy gut bacteria actually will yield alcohol. So when we start talking about diabetes and recognize that if you have an imbalance of good, healthy gut bacteria, you're not going to process foods properly, you don't necessarily have to be overweight or obese. You can have that imbalance of gut bacteria and inappropriately process your carbohydrates, leading to a diabetic situation.
A text in from Jane. Do you recommend a multiple vitamin for everybody? Does everybody need to have one a day?
As far as I'm concerned, the answer to that question is yes, because we literally cannot get all the vitamins and all the nutrients that we need from the foods that we eat. Minerals are critically important. Vitamins are also important, and we just don't have that nutrition in our foods anymore. A good example of that is if you buy, like, for example, I live in upstate New York. If you buy fresh fruits during the wintertime in upstate New York, you know they're not fresh. They have been farmed in from someplace. The process by which those fruits get to me in upstate New York, if they were picked when they ripened on the vine, they would be loaded with good, healthy nutrition. But if they were picked when they ripened on the vine, they would also be rotten by the time they get to me. We pick our fruits. We actually harvest our vegetables before they ripen, and it's during the last few hours of ripening on the vine that they actually suck all the nutrients out of the soil, if they're available,
yeah.
And all of those vitamins are created. We don't have that in our food supply.
Let's go to Tammy in Birmingham, Alabama, first-time caller. Tammy, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a dear friend that has a disease called Poim syndrome, and I was wondering if you have ever heard of it, and if so, what research is being done for this?
How's it spelled?
Poims, P-O-E-M-S.
Poims syndrome. Never heard of it. How about you, Doc?
No, I'm not familiar with that, but, you know, I'm going to guess that if it's one of those conditions, like many of the new conditions, it is one of those things that, again, is going to be dealt with. It's, well, in fact, looking at it right now, I see that it's a polyneuropathy.
Yes.
That speaks volumes to me.
It's rare, that's for sure.
Anytime we look at a condition that's like that, a neuropathy of any kind, we have to look at what's causing that neuropathy. And anytime I work with someone like that with a really unusual condition like this, the first thing I say is we need to look at the diet. We need to clean up the diet. We need to make sure that the digestive system is working at an optimal level, and we add to that the 90 essential nutrients. Now, interestingly enough, in the line of products that are obtained through Critical Health News, there are a lot of different things that we can actually do that might help with the symptoms of this particular condition, because much of what we can offer speaks specifically to the nerves and nerve function. But it's a multi-systemic disease. And unfortunately, one of those things that leads to multi-systemic diseases is a breakdown of, again, good healthy nutrition, and that's because of the foods we eat and the inability of our digestive system to function optimally because of that imbalance of good healthy gut bacteria. But certainly there would be things that I would recommend that could help, and those would be the things I just mentioned. Clean up the diet, make sure the gut's working, and do the 90 essential nutrients with the addition of some of the other products specifically helpful for nerves.
And doctor, what's so amazing about the grand design, how did this happen where the planet has the nutrients and the supplements and the ability to fight disease from plants? I mean, how was that created?
Well, in my opinion, it was created by our maker. And the things that are necessary to keep us healthy have been provided to us. Unfortunately, what has happened along the way is researchers have made the determination that they are better than nature, and they have started to introduce into our world and our environment things that they feel are better than nature. From my perspective, nature gave us what we need, and this is the way we used to treat patients for years. We treated them with herbal medicines. We treated them with plant medicines. In fact, many of your pharmaceuticals started out as plant medicines. It's because the plants have been provided to us.
How many people are 100% healthy? Nothing wrong with them? I don't think a lot of people.
No, I would say very few people are 100% healthy. And that's because we live on this earth. You know, when you think about all of the things we're exposed to each and every day, even if we eat healthy, even if everything's organic, even if our water comes right out of a spring, even if all of those things are as they should be, all of those things that we do and put into our bodies, what about all of those toxins we're exposed to in our environment? Unless you're living in a bubble, you're exposed to toxins, and those toxins will ultimately be your demise if you're not doing things to help combat those toxins.
In your book, Why is America So Sick? Are we the sickest country out there?
Well, actually, when you look at it statistically, we're not the sickest country out there if you compare us to all the countries, but we are way down on the list when we are compared to industrialized countries. And it's sad because we spend more money than most industrialized nations on health care, and yet we fall way down as far as the numbers are concerned. It's because what we're doing, in my opinion, is we are handling wellness in a wrong way. You know, we hear all the time about prevention, but the prevention programs that are out there, if you look closely at them, we're not preventing anything. It's more early detection. If we were truly preventing things, then we would be encouraging every patient to take good nutritionals every day. That's not our approach.
Dr. Joanne Conaway with us, the website criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com, and the number to call for people who will give you some advice. They're not doctors on the phone, but they're there to help you. 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. But they do a great job giving people some helpful advice and steering them in the right direction, Joanne. We're going to come back. Final hour to go with you. Final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.